Let's read God's word together. We've seen the story of Zacchaeus. It's always good to check it out with the Bible itself, isn't it, when we see something like that? So let's see what the Bible says. Page 1053 of the Church Bibles. This is what we read. Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So somebody has said about Jesus that Jesus ate his way through the Gospels. And what they mean by that is that wherever you look in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you see Jesus having meals with people. He loved having meals with people. That was important. It was important today for us, but even more in that culture, and something I think we could learn from, is that eating together is such an important time, way of being together. It's when we eat together, when we share in each other's houses, that we get to know each other, we enjoy each other's company, we can learn to be good friends together and all the rest of it. So that was important to Jesus because Jesus loved people. He loved all kinds of people. In fact, as we've seen, he used to get terribly criticized for hanging out with the wrong people, what people said were the wrong people. The not very nice people, the people that you perhaps steer clear of, the people that society kind of, you know, kept at a distance. They called them sinners in those days. But Jesus used to love spending time with those people. And the more self-righteous people thought, "Oh dear, he's spending time with the wrong kind of people." And they were angry about that. But you know, Jesus just loved spending time with them because, as it says in that passage, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. And you know, the truth is, we're all lost without Jesus. We're all lost and we all need Jesus to come and find us. There's one group of people in particular, these tax collectors. Now, when you think of tax collectors, when you see tax collectors in the Bible, I don't want you to think of those nice people in the Reading branch of the tax office, because we have one or two of those here. That's not what is conjured up when we read about that in, you know, taxes. Paying taxes is a good thing. I want good schools. I want good hospitals. Therefore, I'm happy to pay tax. And I hope you do the too. But in those days, it was a bit different. You see, the tax collectors were very wealthy, very unpopular. There were two reasons why they were unpopular. One was because they took taxes on behalf of the Romans. And the Romans had come in and taken over the country. And they were the oppressors. They were the occupying force. They'd taken over the country. And so people resented paying taxes to the Romans. You can understand that, can't you? But the other reason why they're unpopular is what it said in the video there, is that they used to take more than was needed. They used to take more from the people and pocket the extra. Pass on what they had to the Romans and pocket the extra. They got very wealthy, but nobody liked them. But you know, Jesus still spent time with them. And that's because he loved them still. He loved even the tax collectors that everyone else hated. And so we've seen about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, this story where Jesus has tea with Zacchaeus. Now, if you're having tea, you've got to have cake, haven't you? Got to have cake if you're having tea. It's fair enough. And if you're going to have a cake, somebody's got to make a cake. And so you need certain ingredients for a cake. Who knows what the ingredients are to make a cake? Any ideas? Rose. Sorry? Egg. Need egg? Yes. Yes, Ella. Flour? You need flour? Anyone over here? Callum? Sugar? Anything else? But is that what you were going to say, Ben? Yeah. And, sorry. butter, egg, flour, sugar. What were you going to say, Caden? Milk. Oh, you can put milk in a cake, I think. Yes. You can't you? Yeah. So, look, I've got a mixing bowl here. I've got eggs and I've got butter. I'm missing a couple of things, aren't I? I wonder if anyone can spot what I'm missing. Can anyone see the things I'm missing? Oh, you can. If you can see them, do you want to go and pick them up for me? Can you see, Caden? Oh. Can you see something else? How was that? Wow, you've got the sugar. Brilliant. Thank you, Ella. Oh, yeah, sorry, can't. Well done. You're a tall boy, aren't you? You did very well. Excellent. Excellent. Good. So now we've got sugar and flour. So we've got ingredients. So I thought in this story we see some ingredients, vital ingredients for a meal with the master chef. That's what we've been looking at throughout HBC, meals with the master chef. So here we have vital ingredients. So let me see what we've got here. I'm going to need a couple of people with big strong arms who don't mind coming out and holding things for me. So I've forgotten to bring up something to stick on the side. So, here we go. Vital ingredient for a meal with the master chef. Ready. Can you see what that says? Can we all read it out together? Good. I can write neatly when I try really hard. Would somebody, some big strong person like to come out? Come on then, Callum. You're going to get very tired arms because, you know, you have to be there till I finish speaking. And that. Okay. Oh, no, I don't want that yet. So ready to respond. Look at what we had there. You see Zacchaeus, right? He wanted to see what's going on. He'd heard about Jesus. He was interested. He, it seems like he didn't want to get too close. He went up the tree so he could see. That's very interesting that he did that. You know, lots of people are interested in Jesus. Lots of people are intrigued. They're made to think about what Jesus does and what he says. Lots of people are very impressed with Jesus. They think he's a very good man. But you know, lots of people, despite all of that, they don't want to get too close to him. They want to stay at a distance. They don't want Jesus to get too involved in their lives, you know, telling them what to do. They just want to appreciate him from a distance. But you see, Zacchaeus wasn't like that. Jesus came to his tree. He looked up, and we can read there. He reached the spot. He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So Zacchaeus, when Jesus called him, Zacchaeus responded, didn't he? He responded quickly. He went with Jesus to tea. And that's so important. You know, Jesus calls us to come and be with him, to be his friend, to spend time with him, to follow him, to enjoy being with him and following him. And thing is, we can respond or we cannot respond. And you might be tempted to think, oh, well, you know, I'll respond later when I'm older or when I'm less busy or whatever. But here's the thing. When Jesus responds, you need to respond. When Jesus calls, you need to respond quickly, now. Because Jesus might call you again, he might call you again and again, but he won't go on calling you if you don't respond. Kids, it's amazing. Tomorrow morning, you won't even have to get up for HBC. It'll be holiday, it'll be great. You'll get up, you'll say, oh, wow, no HBC, no school, no nothing to do. I can do whatever I like. And you'll say, Mom, I'm bored. And perhaps she'll say to you, well, go and knock on a friend's door, see if they can go do something with them. So you go to your friend and you knock on the door. And they come to the door and you say, oh, you're going to come out to play? And they say, well, I would do, but we've got visitors coming today. So I can't come today, sorry. Try tomorrow. So you do, you come back the next day, you knock on the door. Are you coming out today? Oh, well, I'd like to, but I've got some really, really important YouTube videos to watch. So, try tomorrow. So, come back the next day. Are you coming out today? Yeah, well, I'd love to, but I've got to stay in and wash my hair today. Now, are you going to go back the next day and the day after that and the day after that? It's very unlikely, isn't it? Because you're getting the message that they don't really want to come out. You know, it's the same with Jesus. If we don't respond, He's not going to go on and on and on knocking at our door. When you hear him respond, when you hear him call, respond quickly like Zacchaeus did, and welcome him like Zacchaeus did. How are you doing, Callum? If you like, you can put it down now, but if you want to carry on, that's fine. It's up to you. Okay. Let's go on to our next ingredient, sugar. See what vital ingredient is in here. Oh, sorry, Jill. My wife warned me that would happen. Who's that waving at the back? Would you like? I can't. Is that something? Would you like to come and hold it? Is there somebody at the back who'd like to? Yes. Are you going to come and hold it for me? Thank you. Excellent. When you're at the back, you sometimes get overlooked, don't you? There we go. Hold it nice and high. And can you everyone read that? Ready to change. Right. So you see what we read next. And so Zacchaeus came down, and then. Jesus, they had tea together, and Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." You see, he was ready to change. You know, when we talk about coming to Jesus, giving our lives to Jesus, becoming Christians, sometimes we use a big word called repent. We talk about we need to repent. You know, all repentance means, it means turning around. So, you know, naturally in life, we want to go our own way. We do things the way we want to. We don't listen to God. And then we hear Jesus' call, and we have to turn around and start going his way. But that means we can't carry on walking our way. We have to go Jesus' way, or else we can't be with him, can we? And so becoming a Christian involves turning around and going his way. It involves being ready to change. Now, thankfully, Jesus doesn't expect us to change completely overnight. He knows it's a lifetime process of, as we walk with him, he says, "Well, what about this? How about that? What about this thing here?" Oh, so he produces those fruits of the Spirit in us, doesn't he? All those things that you've been learning. And so bit by bit, we grow more and more like Jesus. But that only happens if we're ready to change. We've got to be ready to change. Imagine. I just think, you know, when I was a young man and my friends were starting to get married and have kids and all the rest of it, I was quite a late starter in that regard, so that didn't happen until a lot later for me. But so it's very interesting because I remember that you'd say to them, "Oh, so you're just about to have your first child. Life's going to be a bit different after that then, isn't it?" And, you know, you'd have a bit of a joke about that. But I remember a couple of people saying to me, "Well, you know, we don't want it to change. We want to carry on. We'll just fit that into what we're doing now." And you think, "Oh, yeah." And now, you know, with a family of my own, I think, what? You've got to be. If you're going to have a family, it's going to make a difference. You've got to be prepared to change the way you live. It's got to be that way. It's the same with walking with Jesus. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to expect things to change, because that's what it's about. Change for the better as he calls us to follow him. Imagine, do you know, I'm not sure that I've ever watched MasterChef. I may have done by accident one day, but I think I've got the gist. So imagine you're a contestant on MasterChef, and you make your meal, and you present it to the experts, and you're standing there, and they start to taste it, and they say, "Yes, well, you could do with a bit more of this." And then somebody says, "Yes, a bit less of that would be good." And then they say, "Well, you could have done this. Oh, yes, next try that, and think about this, and all the rest of it." And imagine you're standing there, and you're getting more and more piqued by this. And in the end, you think, "Oh, for goodness sake, next time you can cook your own meal, thank you very much." And you stomp off the set. Would that be wise? It wouldn't, would it? It'd be silly, because here's your opportunity to learn from these master chefs, to improve your cooking. How ridiculous for you to get into get all precious about it and stomp off. Well, that's what it's like with Jesus. Jesus, the master chef, wants to improve the flavor of your life. He wants to make it better. He wants to make you more like himself, so that life is better for you and for everyone around you. That's what he wants to do. And as he points things out, we've got to be ready to change, as Zacchaeus was. Okay, you ready to put it down? Do you want to put it down now? You're right. You can put it down if you like. You Okay, so, but, you know, there's one more vital ingredient. You're still hanging on in there, are you, Callum? Okay. One more vital ingredient we need to think about. Can anyone else smell cake? It smells like fresh cake cooking in the oven. I wonder where we'd find cake. Does anybody have an idea? Where do you think we might find the cake? At the front? Might do, but it smells like it's just freshly baking. Where might it be? Where do you think it might be?
In an oven.
Do you want to go and have a look? Where is there an oven? I saw an oven just at the entrance. Have a look there. Now, as it goes past, look at it. Look at the top and see what it says. In fact, Finn, perhaps I'll ask you just to take it round the whole. It says Jesus. Take it round. Could you walk it round the whole church so that everyone can see? Practice Tracy's fielding skills. That's our pudding there, so just be careful with it for this afternoon. You see, the most vital ingredient of all is Jesus. You know, in the video, it said, today God has rescued you. Well, actually, in the scripture it says, today salvation has come to this house. Do you want to put it down? Yeah, you're all right. I know you could go on holding it all day, couldn't you, Callum? I know you could. But there we go. Never say die. That's a good attitude, isn't it? Brilliant. Salvation has... Oh, wow. Thank you very much. That's lovely. Jesus. There we go. Salvation has come to this house. You see, Jesus came to this house, and that meant salvation came to this house. When we talk about being saved, when we talk about becoming a Christian, we talk about being saved. What are we saved from? Well, we might say we're saved from our sin and the effect of sin, that we don't have to stay eternally separated from God and all the rest of it. We might say that. We might say that we become a member of God's family. We're adopted into his family. We might say we're washed clean. We might say God is restoring us to how he meant us to be at the first place. All those things is what salvation is. But, you know, all of those things come to us in Jesus. Jesus comes to us and brings us all those things. So those things aren't possible without Jesus. Jesus brings us salvation because Jesus is salvation. And as he comes to us, just like he came to Zacchaeus, he wants to enjoy our company. He wants to sit down and have a meal with us. He wants us to walk with him through life, to follow him, to learn from him, to listen to him, to tell him we love him, and to hear him tell us that he loves us, to give him the praise that he deserves and all the rest of it. That's what he calls us to do. That's what salvation is. And, you know, there's a very famous verse right at the end of the Bible. It says this, it's written to a church, but it's applicable really to whoever we are, whether we've not yet committed our life to Jesus, whether we've been following him for many, many years, or whether we're somewhere in between. This verse always applies to us because we always have the opportunity of inviting Jesus in further and spending more time with him. This verse says, here I am, this is Jesus speaking, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, that person, and they with me. That invitation is always open to us, for us to enjoy Jesus' company, and that's the best life there is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this story. We thank you for Zacchaeus' response. We thank you that he was ready to change. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus. And that he met Jesus. It's such a wonderful picture of how, despite the way we've gone, doing things that are against your will, that you want to bless us and bring us life and bring us salvation. So I pray you'll help us to be ready to respond, ready to change, and always ready to meet with Jesus. And we pray this in his name.